At number 16 on Q's Top 20 Albums of 2014. Check out the entire list, cbc.ca/Q. That's it for Q for today. Tomorrow, we speak to Inherent Vice co-star Catherine Waterston. Email us, q@cbc.ca. Follow us on Twitter, @cbcradioq. I'm Wab Canoe.
From CBC Toronto, overcast, 3 degrees in the city right now. Good morning, I'm Jill Dempsey. It is one of the most deadly terrorist attacks in Pakistan history. More than 120 people, mostly children, have been killed after a small group of Taliban gunmen stormed a school run by the military in the city of Peshawar. The TTC announcing this hour that it's going to allow credit and debit card fare purchases for purchases over $10. We're getting more details now about how yesterday's hostage-taking drama in Sydney, Australia, came to an end. Two hostages and gunmen were killed when police stormed the cafe 16 hours after the siege. One of the victims tried to grab the gun as the hostage-taker slept. And shipments to Canada of toxic waste from a chemical dumping ground near Niagara Falls, New York neighborhood called Love Canal have been halted. More news ahead on Radio 1.
Holy Jesus, hey.
Forecast. Fog advisory in effect.
Cloudy
with periods of rain or drizzle beginning this morning. Fog patches forming this morning as well, a high of 6 degrees. Tonight, periods of rain or drizzle with a low expected of 4. For Peterborough...
You gotta love that word, drizzle. Fog advisory. Drizzle. It's drizzling now. I'm here at Buffers Park, and there's a sort of a pile of snow in front of me that's been plowed at the end of the parking lot. But the grass is green and brown. The snow melted. I mean, we've got above zero temperatures. A few days ago, we had a lot of snow. We had that big snow dumping, which I absolutely loved. And it's gone. And that always happens in Toronto. We may have a green Christmas. Not unusual for this city. How could I be talking about the weather after that news headline? I really was on the edge of whether I was going to include the news or not include the news, but you've grown to expect it on the Dixon James podcast, because CBC is part of my life, and following the news is too much a part of my life, and that story. Out of Pakistan, I guess I'm not even going to go on about it. What is there to say? I've already said a lot on that topic of fanatics, organizations like ISIS, the Taliban, the kind of people who willingly, willfully murder children for revenge. I watched a documentary last night on I believe it's the Hittites, this ancient civilization. We're going back a couple of thousand years BC, I believe. I don't have all the facts, and I watched the show knowing I was not going to remember anything other than the reenacted battle scenes and the power they had at one point through strong leaders who built an army, and these chariots were better than the average chariots because they moved the axle forward, I believe, for better balance, and it made them a little bigger. These were drawn by a team of horses, and they could fit 3 soldiers on there instead of just 2, and an assortment of weapons. And this is what they put into battle, and you're thinking back, okay, what are we doing? We're talking back few thousand years in human history of human history. I mean, it was all about war and battles and killing the enemy and terrorizing the enemy. And at one point, this Hittite civilization had almost been wiped out, conquered from all sides, and then, bam, under a strong ruler, they built the army again, and this army would march for days and days through blistering heat to subdue and conquer or make peace through treaties with other civilizations, then into Syria, then into Egypt, and marrying off daughters and sons to establish peace of some kind. And you think, oh my God, how strange is it now to have grown up, in the case of my life, in a time of peace? I mean, war all around me, but I've lived in this bubble of peace. I know no wars, and I know no hatred. Although I do profess to have some hatred for the murderers, like the people who go in and just shoot teachers and school children. I don't even feel it in my heart right now. I feel nothing. More of an intellectual anger. These are the people I should hate and must be eradicated for their blind and stupid beliefs. But I guess what I'm doing is I'm making the connection between this little bit of history 4,000 years ago and what's happening today. And it is just one and the same. It's just there are people who live by war, live by hatred, live by killing the enemy. And it's so, it's like, honestly, it's like I'm on another planet. I mean we, the people you out there listening to this who have not been out to war, we live separate from this cruel and bloody and horrific reality that is all around us. And that's just, could be the bombs falling from the planes or the drones killing. It's no matter how, you know. No longer. I think when I see these battles reenacted, I'm thinking of the people who are cut down with an axe or a blow to the head. And you can go back 10,000, 100,000 years. It doesn't matter in history. But left to die on the battlefield. You're not killed with that first blow. You're left, your arm is half severed. You know, your face is cut in half. But you're lying there. Nobody has dealt the death blow, and you will. It may take hours. Who knows? It could take days for you to die under the parched heat of the sun. You know what I'm. Yeah. Oh, and here we live in our world, and we talk about our concerns, our anxieties, our worries, our frustrations with our iPhones, and our. It's so detached from those other realities. And it's almost as if we should maybe feel some guilt about this, and yet people have corrected me and said, no, why? You can't help. This is what you were born into. And what we are doing is the better way. We are not waging war. We are not. I say we. And how far does that we extend? How wide is it? How big is my circle? Who do I include in that we? Well, it's the Dixon James listeners and my friends and my family and a lot of Canadians and a lot of Americans and a lot of people in the world, the innocent, who just don't want war. I could go right back to the people I worked with in Nigeria who are just average people who just don't want. They grow up with raising sons and daughters who they love and want to have a better world for. And they don't want bloodshed. They don't want to be a part of this hatred. Anyway, I've said enough, and I've said enough about nothing because I don't know what my point was in there other than how horrific it is and yet how strange it is to be separate from this. I mean, the closest we would have got would be the war in Vietnam in my lifetime, and how just that border made all the difference as to whether or not you went over and got shot at or killed others or joined in the terror of warfare. And how will peace on earth ever be established? There's our Christmas connection, because it is December, what, 16th, 17th today? Today is the day I was 16th, sorry. It's a Tuesday. Yes, it's Tuesday. I've booked it's 11:41 now. Holy shit, already. I've booked a 1 o'clock ticket to go see the Hunger Games. Another story about war. Why did I choose that? Well, I enjoyed the other ones that I've seen, and this is just something I need to do, give myself a time away, a little treat. I did go into the college yesterday in the afternoon and managed to submit all my marks and attendance sheets and wrap everything up. I have a new schedule. I am now teaching Monday and Friday, which may be better than the double-headed Friday. I think so, anyway. Same pay in 2 days, but it means it allows me to prepare. That's next term. That's January. My paycheck is paltry, but it's better than nothing. And at this rate, I can keep on going, and who knows, I may even be back in the fall. You've heard that before, I'm sorry. What did I want to get at? My session, my Gestalt session, my fourth, I believe. I am going to continue. I expect to go right up into maybe the spring, I don't know. Because it can't happen in a hurry, and the thing that was pointed out to me yesterday, the mirror that was held up, was how impatient I am and how I sort of want measurable results right away by just going and sitting and talking with somebody. And of course, you know, I know, we know, that ain't possible. It doesn't work like that. Change is slow and gradual and comes about not necessarily through sudden revelations, but the revelation I had yesterday, the reminder perhaps, a better word, was how impatient I am. I am so impatient. I'm so quick to jump in on a conversation or cut off a conversation or forcefully insert my point of view, my take on the matter. And I really would be better and it would be nicer for the people around me if I just learned to hold back a little and be a little more patient. You may have already known that. If you've listened to this podcast, it may show up here. I don't know. But that's something to take home. And what it is, it's not just that hour I spend in the therapy with a counselor I'm very, very pleased with, by the way. It's what I leave there with, thinking, yeah, maybe this is something I should be doing or working on. So that continues this self-administered course I'm putting myself through with the required 3 pages of writing every single day. It takes me a long time. It's taking me about half an hour a page to get done with this. So that's a big chunk of time during the day. And of course, it's ADD time, when it means in the middle of something, I'll think of a friend, and that friend suddenly reminds me of somebody's brother, and then I think, oh, I better contact that brother. Well, I better just go into my database and see. And, oh, well, while I'm here, oh, there's an email address. I think I'll send him an email. And meanwhile, I've left my 3 pages of writing in the dust as I send this off. And next thing, an email comes in, and it's an invitation from Roger to subscribe to McLean's for $3.50 a month. And I think, yeah, I thought about that yesterday. I'll take it. I'll take it. And boom, next thing, I'm adding a subscription onto my Rogers bill every month because it seems so easy to do and the price is right and gosh, why not? And if I don't read them, I can give those to my students. Oh, and I realize, whoa, there's more time gone. I'm just so easily sidetracked. You've seen that before on this podcast, but I still keep recording and keep talking and keep going to get this thing done, and I never fail to put it out, and so far I haven't failed to put out 3 pages a day for the past 12 days, so that's something. And this is supposed to continue over 12 weeks. Holy shit, are you serious? I'm going to allow myself a little bit of flexibility here and there, as one must, you know, when I'm traveling to Windsor this weekend, and maybe the Ottawa-Kempville area over the holidays. All right, let's park that. Let's move on. What else did I want to say? Have we done enough on horror and war? I think so. Do I need a toque before I go in to see the Hunger Games? No, today I decided I don't need that. I can enjoy it on its own. I'm going for, I don't know, a VX-DX box or something. I think maybe the seats vibrate or something like that. It's one of those theaters where I had enough points on my scene card. It's a free movie today, so that was worth cashing in on. Although, I probably should have just paid for it myself, got the extra points, and use this on a day when it's not cheap, but who cares? Who cares? Who cares? What do I have to do? I got to shop. I haven't started Christmas shopping. I need to. I could not bear to have no presents for my wife and sons under the tree. Oh, my God. And my wife, oh, you know how impossible she is to buy for. And she says, don't worry, I'll just buy stuff for myself. And I'm saying, yeah, I know, but still, and I fill stockings every year. I buy stuff. And everybody just complains, you know, oh, this again? This useless flashlight, this crazy screwdriver, this box of chocolates, this what the heck, Dad? But I do. This magazine. I do. It's a tradition. Which reminds me, I've got to buy some bubbly for the holidays and maybe a bottle of bubbly to take down to Shane and his new lady, who I haven't met yet. Looking forward to that. And catching up with Tom. Some of you know Shane and Tom, so that's why I'm mentioning it. It's not just, you know, insider baseball, if that's the term. Oh, yes. An apology to Anthony Marco for me questioning whether he had actually done 700 podcasts. Apparently, now, this is the way it's been explained to me, and not for the first time either, that he did record earlier things that we don't necessarily think of as free-flowing podcasts the way, you know, Love Hate Things is, but were actually scripted, written blog posts that I believe he said were audio informant. I asked, would a blind person such as, you know, our friend Dr. Dave Broadbeck, no, I said not counting Dave Broadbeck, but a real blind person, would they be able to hear these blog posts? Like, were they recorded in an audio format so that you could go online and just sort of click? And no, I can't read it, but I can hear it. And Anthony assured me, yes. So for me, for doubting that Anthony had actually put out 700 blog posts, audio blogs / podcasts, I apologize. And I promise, because Anthony listens in double speed, so forgive me, I have to do this in a way that will sound normal to him. So,
Anthony Marco, please accept my apology for questioning the fact that you
should do it. So, that filled up a little bit of the time here. We're up to 20 minutes almost, so I better end on that note and get back to you, because holy shit, 12 o'clock, I gotta go home, I gotta eat, I gotta get ready for this movie. Where has the time gone? Where does it go? Jesus Christ. And I am so far behind in podcast listening because some people are putting out podcasts or video casts, like in YouTube every day, and I gotta catch up to all those. So Jesus Christ. Whew, golly. Let's go. Welcome. Dixon James Podcast. 489. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now.
Smoking, I pulling up, keep that lean up in my cup. All my car got leather and wood in my hood, we call it book. Everybody wanna bow, I let brows at the mall. If he up, watching fouls, I can fuck with y'all.
Pussy ass hoe niggas,
I can fuck with y'all.
Bitches all up in my business,
I can fuck with y'all.
Industry of counterfeits,
I can fuck with y'all.
Taking off when you landing, bitch niggas gonna throw tantrums and I'm dancing on them stars. The galaxy ain't got room for y'all, ain't nothing gonna happen soon for y'all. While I'm here and every day I hear your bullshit, self pity, reason why you never dealt with me, reason why your girl dealt with me. Hands up in the building, we get busy and say Yup, that's exactly what this sound like. A to the A to the L-I-Y-A-H. Give it up two times, they give it right back, don't blow my high.
Smoking, I pulling up, keep that lean up in my cup. All my car got leather and wood in my hood, we call it book. Everybody wanna bow, I let brows at the mall. If he up, watching foul, I can fuck with y'all.
Pussy ass hoe niggas,
I can fuck with y'all.
Bitches all up in my business,
I can fuck with y'all.
Industry of counterfeits,
I can fuck with y'all.
Look at my life and look at yours. Get some ambition, why you bored? Time will never wait on no man. Society will never hold your hand. Niggas like to gossip like bitches. Got me thinking you don't like bitches. Wonder what's behind them Ray-Bans. Eyes of a coward, I understand. Niggas like to gossip like bitches. Sip down Perignon, when we finish, we say Yup, that's exactly what this sound like. But never will I ever forget left eye. Roll up, put a ribbon in the sky and a button on your lips, don't blow my high.
Smoking, I pulling up, keep that lean up in my cup. All my car got leather and wood in my hood, we call it book. Everybody wanna bow, I let brows at the mall. If he up, watching foul, I can fuck with y'all.
Pussy ass hoe niggas,
I can fuck with y'all.
Bitches all up in my business,
I can fuck with y'all.
Industry of counterfeits,
I can fuck with y'all.
Now everybody sing this shit.
I'm sending him a
look at my life and look at yours. Get some ambition, why you bored, 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 bored.
Chick, 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 chick. Checking in. Checking in. Scarborough Dude back at you from Bluffers Park on a Thursday afternoon. It's about 2:30 in the p.m. An overcast day. Not cold. But I'm sitting in my car looking at all the ducks and geese. You wonder how they can manage, you know. Get through a winter here, but anyway, I got a lot to say today, and I'm going to tell you something. This may be part one of a two-part podcast, and some of you might think right away, oh, he's getting cold feet. He's got to stretch those out. He's only got 11 more to go, so he's stretching them out, doing double headers or half-timers or whatever you want to call it. No, it's just that 7:30 a.m. tomorrow, I'm on a train Windsor bound, so I don't think I'm going to finish this podcast. I normally put them up on a Saturday. That's been the pattern lately. And what I thought I'd do Because I don't even know how much I've recorded. I don't know what I've said. I never do. Like, you know, it's days between these recording segments. It's all one to you, but to me, it's lots happened in that time. And I can't keep track of what I've said or where I left off or what was put on the last podcast and what's fresh for this one. You know, it's very, very hard. So I thought I'd say what I have to say today. And this may be another long stretch of talking. And put it up tonight, perhaps. And then when I get back from Windsor, because I'm bound to record some at Windsor, I always do. And you look forward to that, don't you? You want to hear me from a different place. Of course you do. That would be the part two. And of course, it's all the same week, kind of, you know. So that may be the plan. Okay, first off, I got to thank our good friend up in this brain, Jason. My God, am I ever glad we recruited that guy and got him in on the Canadian side. Because he is one of us now, firmly. I mean, the CIA couldn't turn that guy. He's with us. And he's the only, well, except for Shane B. But Shane B is doing the Advent Christmas calendar with beer. And you have to be watching it. So I've fallen behind on that because I'm finding it very hard to get the time to actually look. I don't want to just be listening to Shane. If he's bothered to put out a YouTube video podcast, I want to see the guy's face, you know, and listen intently because I think he has a lot to say. So I'm way, way, way behind on those. In fact, I'll probably catch up if I load up my iPad. I don't know how I'll do that. I may be able to catch up on the train on some of them. But meanwhile, it's Jason up in this brain I was talking about, who has actually infused a little bit of Christmas spirit into me with all the music, all the trouble he's gone through to come up with his playlists and carrying out every day, putting out another show of Christmas music and thoughts and, you know, his little jokes here and there. By the way, Jim Neighbors, I cannot listen without thinking of Gomer Pyle, and so it's hard to take any song that Jim Neighbors sings seriously. But Jason, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because this year I have no Christmas spirit. I mean, I usually don't get it till around 23rd, 24th when I start panicking because I haven't finished shopping. And then I run out and I buy stuff. And my track record is so bad. And now, I mean, I've given up on my wife altogether 100%. No, don't bother. Don't try jewelry. I mean, don't try earrings. Don't try brooches. Don't try bracelets. Don't try anything. Because it's not going to be perfect. And it's not that she's just so fussy and so that's not good enough or the diamonds too small. No, 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 no. It's not like that. It's just I have poor taste. And I can't get a handle on what she really likes. But she knows. And, I mean, she'll shop at Joe's. She'll go to, what do you call it, these thrift places. And buy stuff, and then, bam, out comes a sewing machine, and she's changing it, making it her style. So she can put on anything and make it hers. But she knows how to do that, and I just don't get it. And with the boys, long gone are the days when I could buy Lego and toys and computer games and trinkets and electronics and all that stuff. They have everything they need, and even music. I can't possibly keep up with what they like in music, and they get it themselves. So I announced yesterday to my wife and to number two son, because number one son is now officially in New Orleans, as of this date, what, 17th, 18th of December, that I can't do it. I just, there's no point in me spending any money, not even to fill your stockings, because I just can't keep track. I cannot do a decent job of finding something that's worthwhile. It's just money out the window. So I'm just going to give, bam, everybody gets money. Do what you want. Buy what you want. Then I hope in return I get nothing. And I'll just go out and treat myself if I see something. Because I'm treating myself all the time anyway. But that is to say, the only little bit of Christmas in terms of music, I love Dean Martin, of course, is listening to Jason's podcast. So that's out of the way. Oh, there was a whole list of things. Let's see, the movie, the interview, Sony canceling that. Oh boy, the big brouhaha on the internet about that thing. Everybody has an opinion. Why did Sony cave into this dictator off in North Korea, and others arguing, was it really the Koreans who did this? And the White House sort of saying, yeah, we got proof, we know it's them, and who knows the whole story here. At first, I thought it was pretty cowardly of Sony to cancel the Christmas Day opening of this movie, which, of course, those of you listening in the distant future need to know. This is a movie about an assassination attempt on, is it Kim Il-jung, the leader of North Korea, and it wasn't a very polite thing to do. A comedy, a weak comedy at best, probably, only $48 million to make it. But these threats came through. There'll be damage done on the opening. Now, I'm thinking, if I was a corporate lawyer for Sony, I'd say, listen, guys, it'll only take one guy. It won't be a North Korean. We're not going to send in an assassination team. It's not going to be an atomic bomb or poison gas in the New York subway. It's not going to be anything like that. It'll just take one loon who knows he'll shoot to fame if he goes into a theater with an automatic gun on Christmas Day when this movie is showing and starts shoots a few people. Some loser who wants to die anyway will turn the gun on himself so he won't even face justice. And that's all it would take. And then everybody's going to come, well, Sony, you had the warning, you're responsible, and sue the pants off of them. The lawyers rubbing their hands, holy shit, can we clean up on this one? So it's a no-win situation, right? You know, people are saying, oh, it's attacking the arts, freedom of expression in America. This is just a practical business decision for now. Hey, we'll let it out later on, or straight to DVD or whatever, you know. So, I don't want to waste much more time on that. I do have a bigger issue, which I think is Dalhousie University in It is New Brunswick, isn't it? Yeah, not to be confused with, what's the one in Halifax? Oh, my God, the shame. Oh, my God, I've got the internet right here. I mean, I could find out, but what's in, and because our friends Mr. Wooby went to the one in Halifax. Acadia's Wolfville. What is it in Halifax? And where's Dalhousie? I think it's New Brunswick. Anyway, the School of Dentistry of Dalhousie University. Some students put up a Facebook page, and I know this is old news and you're tired already, but again, those of you listening in the future may have some interest in this story. Made some jokes. Sexist. It's a case of sexism, right? There were some attractive girls in the class where they put up pictures on this Facebook page and then, talk about bad timing, had the nerve to make the joke of chloroforming and maybe having sex with these sleeping girls. Now, given that all the news has been about Jayan Gomeshi and his abuse of power and Bill Cosby's use or supposed use of drugs and at least, 12, 15 women coming forward saying they were drugged by him? Holy shit. I mean, this is bad on the Bill Cosby side. This is bad for students to pick this timing. Now, wait a minute, before you scream at me, what do you mean this timing? Any time that's bad. Listen, bottom line, rape, drugging somebody to have sex with them, this is never under any circumstances acceptable. It's never funny, it's never a joke, it's never allowable. It is just plain morally reprehensible and wrong. If you can't have a relationship with a woman, either you pay for it directly and fairly and you don't beat her up afterwards, if it's you're going in the sex trade, or you find yourself a willing partner and use whatever charms you have to charm her pants off, whatever it takes. And I know everything. I guess what I'm getting at is everybody's ready to jump from all angles on this. And my worry is that the immediate reaction to this, okay, this is wrong. They made jokes that a teenager might make. In the old days, National Lampoon might have made. Like, does this cloth smell funny to you? And of course, it's loaded with chloroform, and as they go to sniff it, they pass out, and the man has his way with her. This is not funny at a university level, and it's not funny in these times of greater sensitivity, maybe greater anxiety, because things like this are happening in society. People are using rape date drugs and so on. So it is little wonder that women and men, but mainly women, are very upset and are calling for the expulsion of all these students. Well, these may be fourth-year students, who knows? These may be students who are just writing one set of final exams to get out. They should have known better. The university has gone with the approach of restorative justice, and there are people crying and saying, that's not enough. Expel them. Now, in restorative justice, the expelling is still an option. You can just say, all right, you are not contrite. You do not realize the extent of the harm you have caused. You're not showing any sensitivity towards this matter, and we don't believe that you really are apologetic. You're only saying that because you want to get out of here and get your degree. So we are, you know, if they feel that that's the right outcome, that's an option that's open to them. But what I fear is when people just blindly call out, expel them, like punish them, this is not the answer. This smacks of Red China during the Cultural Revolution, that this is the correct line of thought. You cannot make jokes, sexist jokes about women. Boom, you're out. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Other women, to their credit, have called for, no, what's needed? Throwing them out is not going to change them. It's just going to embitter them and make things worse. Educate them, and that's what you can do in restorative justice. So all I'm saying here is I want to put in this pitch. I'm very glad that that is at least the option they're exploring now, and I think it's the right way to go. And the thing about restorative justice, it's private. It's contained, and so they don't have to announce what it is these people will do to make amends for what they've done. And by the way, I Googled in my writing this morning, I Googled a good definition of restorative justice. You can do that yourself. The thing is, it's in private. It's between the parties, the people who have been offended and hurt by this, and all the parties involved. And it doesn't go public. And of course, the public, the news media is going to demand, we need to know. What's the punishment? What's the punishment? And it's not just about punishment. It's about justice and restoring the rights of the victims and giving them some sense of satisfaction for the wrongs that have been done to them, and to make sure the people who've done the harm are educated and do change and learn from their mistake. So that's all I wanted to do here, is put out a plea and a cry for this restorative justice tool, which I think is the only way to go in a case like this. But I do also fear, oh my God, that what's happened at universities, and it isn't to say this is okay, it's just to say that everybody's jumpy on every issue, and everybody is just like on edge in case of somebody going over that wrong line. Like, you can't put up posters, you can't offend anybody, you've got to be careful what you say, what you do. And I think this is... it's very sad that it's come to that. And I think everybody in a position of academic authority is just out there. Cover your ass, number one, man. Just jump on anything that may be misconstrued or sounds like it's politically incorrect. Just be careful. If you want to get promoted, if you want to keep your job, watch your ass. Oh, it's so good to have ice cold water. So those are two things that I needed to get out of the way. There's a whole lot more. What have I got with me? I've got my book, my favorite, my traveling book, Buddhism Plain and Simple. The Practice of Being Aware Right Now Every Day by Steve Hagan. I do recommend this one if you can ever find a copy. It's so well worn. This thing traveled with me, I guess, to Costa Rica. It got soaked in the water. It's coming to Windsor. It's train reading. Another story, and this is more of a story about me, my way of doing things, or rather not doing things. A light bulb burned out of my car. I don't know if I mentioned that, but a headlight, not a high beam, but just the regular driving headlight, burned out. Okay, I know. Well, that's got to be fixed. So there's a part of me, you know, that I had a cold water tap that wouldn't work in the downstairs bathroom, and that was... somewhere between 2 and 5 years. I can't remember how long it was not functioning and on the list of things to take care of. It's fixed now. I told you that, right? I got a plumber in, got him to fix that, and the leak in the laundry tub. So I know, okay, you have to take care of this. Not fixing it is not an option, and you can just sort of put it off, and it's probably been a week now, I guess. And meanwhile, when you go out at night, you just turn on your high beams. Well, it's not nice to drive with your high beams and shine them in somebody's rearview mirror on their oncoming traffic, you know. But at least this way, you got full lights, and the police won't stop you. Driving with one headlight, the police are in perfect, perfectly within their rights to stop you and give you a ticket or 24 hours to get it fixed or whatever. By the way, does anybody remember the name, the game Padiddle? I think it might have come from Britain. There was a couple of girls I knew in school, high school. I had a crush on. Maybe it was right after high school, maybe the beginning. I might have been grade 12 even when I did that for a few months. And the idea is if you see a car with one headlight, you're allowed to kiss the person you're with. I think it was called Padiddle. There was Volkswagen Can't Hit Me, of course, you know, where you just punch somebody as hard as you can in the arms when you see a Volkswagen. Don't play that anymore because you just don't see Volkswagen bugs the way we used to. But that was a game. Volkswagen Can't Hit Me, bam! And you just slam somebody, and it hurt. I mean, it wasn't a nice game, but... And so, your eyes... If you're walking with high school buddies, your eyes have to be peeled all the time in case a VW bug goes by. Or you see one parked somewhere. Anyway. So, this headlight, I gotta deal with it. It gets on the official list. I have a list on my Mac, you know, the things that I have to do, and you can do it under different categories. This is for college, this is for home, this is personal, this is Dixon Jane's, whatever. And then you can assign a date to it, and or a location if you want to use that, a date, and a priority. It's not important, or it's very important, and so on. So this officially makes the list. So... I figured, look, I'm going to be driving down to Ottawa maybe after Christmas. And that's not the time to do it around Christmas time. Get it done, man, soon, before Christmas. Absolutely. So good. It bumps right up there in the priority list. I could go to... by the way, one more little sidetrack here. I've listened recently to a couple of podcasts by Dan Klass. You all know Dan Klass. He was one of the pioneers in podcasting. What's it called? The Bitterest Pill. And it was pretty neat, because in the early days, you wanted to listen to the big names. And a few people were able to actually get their name out there. Dan Klass was one of those. Wow. To the point where later on, he was eventually able to charge money for people to subscribe to his podcast and actually try and make a living at it. But now, some podcasts just come out, or maybe after a certain period of time, he releases them. I don't know. But I was listening to him, and he told a story about his daughter getting a cut in his head. And it really, truly, honestly... was not a very important story. It was not really a big deal. Well, it was to him. And, of course, you're going to say, well, man, this story you can't even seem to get through about your burned-out headlight is not important. So, gee, there goes that. What I was going to say about it was, regardless of how trivial the story seemed to me, Dan is a master storyteller. He really, really can tell a story. And the thing is that he uses, and I never use, and I just can't because of my personality, is he uses silence. He uses pauses. He just stops. And leaves that window open for the reader to digest what was, or the listener to digest what was just said, to imagine maybe what's going to come next. And he leaves these openings in there. And you know, if you listen to the Dixon Jane's podcast, it's such a reflection of my character that I can't leave spaces. It's like when I'm writing, if I have a piece of paper, I have to fill that entire sheet, margins, headings, footers, everywhere, sideways, backwards, all over the place. Each sheet of paper gets filled. If I open a new document, I almost always go to the narrowest possible margins to fill the space. And I appear to be doing the same thing with words when I talk. I don't give you, the listener, a chance. So I think at this point, with only a few podcasts left in me, of this nature anyway, it's a little bit late to change that way. But I did want to bring that up. Yeah. And now get back to the story we were on, the headlight. Boy, there was another very good story about the headlight in Nigeria. You remember that one, don't you? where I was on my way to the party with the doctors, and the Peugeot came down the dirt lane, and the headlights just sort of caught my eyes and caught me off guard, and I couldn't cross the road. And it caused me to turn around and go back home and not attend to this party. And part of it was because I just didn't feel right about being just a teacher going to this party with the doctors. And it was a good party, and I was genuinely invited. Hey, I was a foreigner, and the doctors are mainly Filipinos, and there was, some of the British sister Annette would have been there, and others, maybe a couple of the Irish fathers, who knows, but I didn't feel right. I didn't feel I belonged. And on my way to it, with some trepidation, this car came down this dark laneway at night. These bright headlights came, sort of cut me off. It was as if it was a beacon of light, a blast of light dropped me dead. It was like I'm being shot. And I stopped in my tracks and turned around and went back home. And, of course, the next day, Ken, where were you? And regretted not going. But anyway, back to my headlight. So yesterday I went and I figured, okay, here's the smartest thing to do. I have this little dealer I've talked about, Unity Auto, here on Eglinton, very close to my house, where I've been taking in my car, my Mazda, my wife's Toyota, for servicing, tires mounted and so on. And I really like them. I believe they're Sri Lankan. I'm not sure. I should ask. And most of the customers are as well, speaking in languages I don't understand. But I really like them, and I feel this is my place. It's a good place to be. But I figure if I go in to ask them to do it, they'll have to order the part and so on. So instead, I go to the Mazda dealer. I'm following up on this task. It has to be done. I go to the Mazda dealer, and I call them first. I call them and say, have you got this part? How much is it? I want to get an idea. I'm expecting, sometimes you get ridiculous costs for these things. And in fact, it's very cheap. It's only about $10 for the light bulb. It's not that special a one. And then he says, you might want to have the little plug that goes with it, because sometimes those things go too, and that's another $9 or something. So maybe all together with tax, I don't know, maybe it came to about $25. So I say, okay, good. I'll be in and trying to get an idea of how much. Well, he didn't tell me over the phone. So I go in. I go to the parts department, not the service department, just the parts department. I order it, I get it, it comes to me, I pay it. I said, how much would it be maybe to have it installed here? Said, well, these things can take time. They can be a little tricky. It could be, maybe up to, $100, $105. And I'm thinking, I know that is outright robbery. This is criminal. But this is a Mazda dealer. They've just completely revamped. It's a beautiful showroom, a nice workshop, heavily staffed with salesmen, with service agents, parts people. Incredible overhead. For a five-minute job, they're going to charge you an hour. They need that extra money to come in just to pay the staff. So I walk out with the parts, feeling, okay, fine, thanks. Not going to do that. And instead, this morning, I go into Unity Auto, and, by the way, when I talked about Dan's story not being all that interesting about his daughter, the princess, getting this little gash in the forehead, my story, the one I'm telling you now, the one we're in the middle of, I'm almost finished, actually, is even less interesting. But I don't care. So, I go into Unity Auto. I bring in and pull out the bulb, the fuse little thing that it fits into, and I want a quote. I just want him to tell me how much it's going to cost. And the guys, suddenly somebody else, some guy bamboozles his way in. The boss, Ram, is sitting in, he's on the computer, he's busy, he's doing something important. Okay, he'll be out in a minute. Okay, just wait. So I wait. Some other guy comes in, the girl, woman, big guy, seemingly very important, goes straight to the receptionist. Is Ram in? I gotta see him about something. And she sort of points, he's in the office, but like me, you can wait, he'll be out soon. He just goes in there and takes over. So I'm kind of pissed. Hey, whoa. You big swaggeredly jerk. You just barge into the office and suddenly it seems important. And I'm thinking, that's not fair. Like, I was here first. What's going on? And it seems to be taking up a lot of this guy's time. And he's got a calculator in his hand. He comes out. He's got to get on the telephone. And his wife's pointing to me and saying, hey, Or the wife, I assume it's not the wife. It's the receptionist. Maybe it's his wife. I don't know. She points to me and like, hey, he was here. But meanwhile, this seems an important job. And I stand up and I hold the part out. And I say, I'm kind of curious. I just want an idea what it's going to cost. Okay. And another guy comes out. He's going to do it. And I said, well, I'm just waiting to see what it's going to cost. Now, I don't even know why I needed to know that. But I wanted an idea. Because I'm starting to think, wait a minute now. I could have done this myself. In the old days, you could change your bulb on a car. There was nothing to it. You might have to take out a couple of screws and actually undo the glass on the front, you know, depending on what car you had. This case, now it's all done from the rear. You lift the hood up and it's out there. But I'd gotten the manual out. I'd actually bothered to get out the manual. And it said, be careful. Depending on the headlight, you could get a shock. Have your dealer do this. So that's what scared me. Well, I'm not going to touch this. And now, of course, I'll have to get the tools. It's going to be cold. I'm going to mess it up somehow. And, oh, geez. So when I'm into this position of some guy more important, who maybe I'm thinking, well, maybe he's buying and selling cars, or something that involves a lot of money, and I'm just here to have a bulb put in. So, of course, it's not a question of who got here first. It's whose business is more important. So I kind of accept that. But meanwhile, he sends a guy out, and the guy's, well, you know, I'm ready to do it. And I'm saying, well, I'm waiting to find out what it's going to cost. So Rom himself, the owner of the place, the manager, comes out. He says, I got to look at you. I don't know what it's like. I'll just look and just pop the hood. So he comes out and he pops the hood. He looks at it. He says, ah, that's an easy job. He said, some of them are really hard to get in at. It's easy. No problem. Easy job. But he didn't tell me a price or anything. So I'm thinking, well, okay. All right. Go back in. He tells the guy, take his car, fix this for him. Then he runs off. He's gone. I still don't know how much this is going to cost me. I'm thinking, okay. I see electrical work is $65 an hour. This is technically electrical work. It's not going to take them an hour, but half an hour, $30 tax, $35, $40 maybe. Well, okay, that beats the $100 that the Mazda dealer might have called me. So I'm ahead of the game. But I'm still thinking, geez, you know, why didn't you even try and do it yourself? You should have tried to do it yourself. And then if it didn't work, it was too difficult, then take it in. But man, save yourself that money. There's a meal for you, you know, a night of drinking right there. Why didn't you do this? You got to start economizing. So I'm beating up on myself a little bit. Then another voice is coming in and beating up on me saying, hey, shithead, at least you're doing it. Today you're going to have a working light. That's more important. Never mind whether you did it or the dealer did it or you paid for it. The problem was, you know what you're like. You don't get things done. You put things off. Fix the fucking light. Okay, Jesus. All right, so I'm going through this turmoil. Finally, car comes out. She's sitting at the desk. The woman, Rom, has gone off somewhere. She phones him, like, hey, in her language, Sri Lankan, I assume. What are we charging this guy? You know, and I just hear the word Mazda, so I know it's about me. You know, what are we doing about this? And he says something and I don't hear, and then she looks at me and smiles. And she says, how much do you want to pay? And I didn't think I heard right. What? Like, huh? And she says, $5? And I think, no, I can't be hearing this right. Like, I said, sorry, $5? Yeah, $5, okay. And I say, cash? $5 cash, okay? Yeah, cash, okay. And I reach into my wallet and I hand out a $5 bill, like $5 versus $105 from the Mazda dealer. And I'm stunned. And I think, all that fuss I made, all that bother, but oh, the cost and where to get it done and what's the best way to do it and I better get it done before Christmas and all this fuss I'm making about a very simple thing, really. And she just gives this wonderful smile and says $5 and takes the money and smiles at me. And I said, you know, I'm a regular. She said, I know you. Because I've been in, you know, a few times the past couple of weeks to have things done on both cars. And I said, yeah, I'm a neighbor. I live just up Bellamy Road there. I'm close by. Yeah, I know. And I leave. And I'm feeling terrible. Because I feel like I've cheated them. Like, $20 would have been fair. The guy did take some time. He drove the car into the workshop, into the back. He did do it. He fixed it. It's perfect. I've just tested it. $20 would have been fair. And I walked out with $5. And as I got in the car, sitting there, I waited. I thought, oh, Ken, go back in. Give her another $5. Make it $10 at least. And then I think, no, that's too late for that now. The only way to answer this situation would have been when she said, is $5 okay? I immediately should have said, no, $10. And handed her $10. I win, they win, everybody's happy. But you can't go back in after the fact and say, here's another $5. That's insulting. I came home and told this story to my son. I said, Dad, you can't do that. 20 maybe. Give her another 20. And I'm thinking, well, look, hey, I got off at 5. The gods are rewarding me for just doing your job. I'll take it. No, everybody, there's no harm done. It's over now. And there we are. But I'm telling you this story. And you may well be wondering why I'm telling you this story. Because I'm... The thing in therapy that I'm working on is being open. Open to the now. Surrendering to the now. Not trying to control everything. Just being more spontaneous. And that doesn't mean do crazy things and just wild and funny things, but just being a little less stressed out, a little more patient, a little more free-flowing, a little more free-spirited, a little more just uncontrolling, less uptight. And I think that little $5 reward was sort of like, it was a reminder, it was a little tap on the shoulder, just, hey, yeah, don't get all excited, man. It's no big deal. Let me just put this in for you. That's fine. The goodwill they established, and because you know I will never go anywhere else other than this garage from this point on, is wonderful. And we'll recommend it. Unity Auto, right on Eglinton, just a little bit east, right by the where the big Home Depot is. The idea of just me trying to fix it afterwards, had I really been in the moment, I would have taken out 10. There's no need for me to do the 20 because, you know, that's, what am I, a big shot? 10 would have been a nice gesture. Thank you. I thought later maybe go back and give a gift, buy them a bottle of wine or something. Come on, don't overdo it. Don't, it's too late now. The point was, in the moment is when you have to act. And if I had really been truly open and free-flowing, I might have handled it in even a nicer way. As it was pleasant. There were smiles all around and happiness. God, I really did drag that out, didn't I? Yeah, and that's why some of you do have to listen on double, quadruple speed. I get that now. I get that. But I had fun retelling that. I don't think you did as a listener, but I had fun telling that as a speaker. So we should maybe slow down right there. I want to read a quote or two for you, because that's something else I do on the Dixon James podcast. You know that. From the book, whose name I don't want to tell you yet, but I did reveal it to one of the Dixon James listeners, a person who I'm fond of. I like this person, and we've been exchanging emails back and forth. I'm actually jumping ahead in the book because I'm so excited about it. Where was this thing about to be an artist, you have to be yourself. It was something like that. It was said much better than that. There's all kinds of things about growth and stuff. Integrity. Here we are. If you want to work on your art, work on your life. That's by Chekhov. If you want to work on your art, work on your life. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do now. And I know I'm not always doing a very good job of explaining it that way. All the arts we practice are apprenticeship. The big art is our life. Now, that one I love. I've heard that before, and I like that one. And one more by Seneca. It's not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they are difficult. Now, that is brilliant. That really, really, really is. It's not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they are difficult. So I guess you've probably had just about enough of me and this thing. And rather than drag it out even further, I think I've sort of covered most of what I wanted. There is none, and you know, I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll, and I've already said this is a two-parter, so you're stuck with this. We're not done. There is a little exercise that I think is brilliant. I think it's a wonderful thing, and it was completing sentences. And I'm going to tell you, this is from the book I'm doing, and if anybody's interested, DM me, you know, on Twitter, Scarborough Dude. That's who I am. Soon not to be. DM me and say, hey, tell me what that book is that you're talking about, because it sounds kind of interesting. Excuse me. They're asking you to free associate, allow, you know, an ending to these sentences. So they're giving you 20 sentence starters. Now, you know, I could even do a variation of this with my students. Yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. So I'm going to read them to you. So if you need to take a break, if you got to go have a poop or do something, well, no, if you're having a poop, take this with you. If you need a break, do what you have to do, okay? But I'm just telling you now what's ahead. I'm going to read out 20 sentence starters. That's what's next on the Nixon James podcast, the next segment. We're not pausing. We're going to have a drink of water, and I'm going to read you. Now, what you have to do is complete the sentences however you choose to. But think about it a little bit. They're worth considering. Number one, my favorite childhood toy was... Two, my favorite childhood game was... Number three, the best movie I ever saw as a kid was... Number four, I don't do it much, but I enjoy. Number five, if I could lighten up a little, I'd let myself. Now, of course, this would be more interesting maybe if I gave you my answer. I don't know. I mean, I don't, maybe not. Six, if it weren't too late, I'd. Number seven, my favorite musical instrument is, and I'm going to say, I'm going to give you my answer for that one, saxophone. Number eight, the amount of money I spend on treating myself to entertainment each month is, now I'm going to say for myself, just right, because it's, you know, a couple of nights out of the only, or more, maybe it's a bit too much. Nine, if I weren't so stingy with my artist, I'd buy him or her, and for some of you that might be another microphone. Number 10, taking time out for myself is... Number 11, I am afraid that if I start dreaming... Now, that's a good one. I'm afraid that if I start dreaming... 12, I secretly enjoy reading. 13, if I had a perfect childhood, I'd have grown up to be... 14, if it didn't sound so crazy, I'd write or make a... 15, my parents think artists are... 16, my God thinks artists are... Now, I like that difference. I like the fact that... Now, I answered, when I did my God thinks artists are, the immediate answer that popped into my head was beautiful people. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. So many artists were quite disgusting in the things they did, you know, their sexual behaviors and perversions, the amount of alcohol or drugs they took. Artists that we love. Is beautiful people really the right answer? I don't think so. So what should it be? What is the answer? I'm asking you. My God thinks artists are... The second answer is to be protected. Are to be protected. Okay. 17. What makes me feel weird about this recovery is, you know, see, that one's not very good because you're not in recovery. This is for people who are recovering. 18. Learning to trust myself is probably, 19, the most cheer-me-up music is, and of course for me it's the Beatles. And 20, my favorite way to dress is blue jeans and a plaid shirt with a t-shirt underneath. Running shoes. Okay, so I don't know why I had to share that with you, but I think it's a great little exercise. I think it's a great way. I'm going to Windsor this weekend, as I told you, and I'm going to meet Shane and his new-to-me lady friend. And I'm going to suggest the three of us do that exercise together, that we actually do it together so that I'll get to know her better. And, of course, Shane will be entertaining and funny, and I'll be all kind of serious and stuff, and we'll have fun. Except, like any good idea, once you've expressed the idea, you soon lose interest, and we probably won't do it anyway. All right, I guess we really should. 42 minutes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, a new record. But today, I'm feeling under this panic with Christmas coming and having to get up, you know, extra special super early tomorrow to make the 7:30 train to Windsor, that this list of things that need to be done before I go, oh my God. So because there's so much pressure building up, I needed extra time to let it out here on the Nixon James podcast to just dump it. And that's exactly what we've done. We've had ourselves a massive dump. And don't know about you, but I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty good. Now, as for those pauses that Dan Klass and the likes are able to put in place to let you savor the story and, you know, something I'd like to learn how to do myself. When I learn to slow down a little. Slow down and be less controlling. All right. Scarborough Dude. Now, going to get back to listening to our good friend, yours and mine, Up in This Brain, Jason, and his Christmas tunes. And we'll be signing out for now. If I don't talk to you before then, of course I will be, but if you're not listening before then, you're listening now and you give up for a while, have yourselves a wonderful holiday season. Find some peace and enjoyment and a genuine, real-for-real happiness. Scarborough Dude, signing off. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome you. Hey. I'm your big brother. What do I have to say to the kids?
Let go. Life does get tough. No need to stress. Hold you back too much. Let's go. I heard they found the solution. Where will you be for the revolution? Get rough, no need to stress. Keeps you down too much. Wake up, I heard they found a solution. Where will you be for the revolution? So high up, so high up. and I like it. Hey, I'm happy to take this marrow cover taste. Somehow I feel okay. Somehow I feel okay. Whoa. I'm your big brother. I'm your big brother. Let go, life does get tough. No need to stress, hold you back too much. Let's go, I already found a solution. Where you be for the revolution? Where will you be for the revolution?